Radio or not, and SoFlow Radio present The Nicole Sandler Show.
Truth to power, baby.
And now, here's Nicole.
All right, we are back. Nicole Sandler here at RadioOrNot.com, SoFloRadio.com, TalkRadio1.com. You know the drill. I thank you for listening wherever and whenever you choose to do so. Today, as we mentioned, is the first anniversary of President Obama signing the Affordable Care Act, or as the Republicans like to call it, the job-killing health care bill. It is neither job-killing nor, at this point, really, I think, a health care bill, because we still have so many of the same problems that we had a year ago that haven't been addressed yet. I guess that will come with time if you can wait for another 3 years. Anyway, problems still abound, if you want to know some of the benefits of this health care law that is a year old today, follow Nancy Pelosi on Twitter, at Nancy Pelosi, and she is tweeting one benefit an hour. I guess we can assume that we'll get, I don't know if it's just until midnight, but we'll get about a dozen benefits, I guess, from Nancy Pelosi. Meanwhile, the same old shit keeps going on. And right now, let's reach out. We're going to call Ed Blizzard. Now, you may not know his name, but if the media did its job, you would. Ed Blizzard is an attorney representing 15 plaintiffs right now who received a hip implant. In fact, we'll have Ed explain. Hi, Ed. It's Nicole Sandler calling again.
Hi, Nicole.
How are you doing today?
I'm great.
Good. Thanks for coming on today. I wanted to, a mutual friend, Cliff Schechter, alerted me to what you're doing. And these are the kind of things we need to talk about because while, you know, we have an FDA that's supposed to protect us before medical devices and drugs are allowed on the market, we learn that's not always the case. And you're an attorney. You're representing 15 people who received a hip implant made by a company called Dupuy Orthopedics.
It's pronounced Dupuy.
Dupuy. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Although sometimes I say Dupuy.
But it is Pew. It really stinks. Dupuy Orthopedics, a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson, by the way. Tell us a little bit about this suit. What happened to people who got this hip implant?
Well, this implant is what's called a metal-on-metal implant. That is, it has a ball that is metal that fits into a socket that is metal. And the ball is attached to the femur or thigh bone, and the cup sits on the hip bone. So unlike implants in the past that had a ceramic ball. This one had a metal ball articulating with a metal cup. And the problem is that the wear between the cup and the ball has caused metal debris to break off to cause the implant to fail. The problem is compounded by the fact that this metal debris, it doesn't just cause you to have a new implant, but you also have to, it causes destruction of bone and tissue, as well as distributes it through the bloodstream.
The two metals that we're talking about are chromium and cobalt. Now, chromium is the poisonous properties of chromium were those made famous in the movie Aaron Brockovich. So
That's exactly correct. And cobalt is also a toxic material when it gets into the bloodstream.
Ah. Okay, so now our mutual friend Cliff Schechter forwarded me some press on this, and I read that as people were having the implants replaced, what the doctors were finding when they went into the hip area is liquefied black dead flesh surrounding the hip device, which was shredding shards of those toxic metals into the surrounding tissues, thus poisoning the body, right?
That's right. The tissue is dead and therefore black, and it looks like there's been an oil spill in the body.
Ugh. Now, you know, I'm looking at my chat room. I've got two chat rooms open during the show, and Castle B7, who lives down here in Florida, says she has a Dupuy knee replacement. and then said, no wonder why it feels like crap. Is this problem only in these hip implants?
Well, the hip implants are the only ones that have been recalled to date. And the recall occurred in August of 2010. So we don't know about the knees at this point.
Oh, my goodness. She might want to give you a call anyway. Someone else, Guardy, just said House just had a show on this where a patient had the bad hip replacement causing cobalt poisoning. So obviously, right. if it's a big enough problem to make it into a mainstream medical show like that, now, obviously, it's a big problem. How many people got these hip implants? Do we know?
There are 93,000 hip implants that were subject to the recall.
Okay, so they recalled them. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. So what's the problem?
Well, the problem is that people really don't know at this point whether they have a failed hip implant or not. The ones that are producing pain, clearly that's evidence of failure, and so people would need to see a doctor about that. But what physicians have found when they've studied the problem is even those who are asymptomatic can have high levels of cobalt and chromium in their bloodstream, and that high level of chromium and cobalt is a predictor for the need for future surgery.
Wow. Okay. So one of the elements of the lawsuit is that Dupuy knew that there were problems long before they started the recall. They kept implanting these devices into people even after they knew there were problems, right?
Nicole, that's exactly right. In 2010, August of 2010, they had the recall. But as early as 2007, there's indication that they knew that there was a problem and didn't tell physicians or the patients.
Wow. Now I read a piece in The Daily. I hate to admit it. That's Rupert Murdoch's new online newspaper, if you will. But it's a good story. I will link to it from my blog at RadioOrNot.com today, which talks about it. It opens the story with somebody coming out of surgery who wanted to know what the doctor found when he pulled out the defective implant or Dupuy implant, and the doctor wouldn't tell him until he had already left the hospital and signed a release. What is that about?
Well, often these physicians are advocates for these implants, and they have very close relationships with the implant manufacturers. Some of them are paid to speak on behalf of the manufacturer. So it's not uncommon for us as attorneys representing individuals who've been harmed by these implants to have difficulty extracting information from the physicians.
It's really sad because the one person you should be able to trust is your doctor. But in many cases, they are in cahoots with the pharmaceutical companies, and you don't know who you can trust anymore and who you can't trust.
Right. Yeah, and it's certainly not all doctors, but there are a substantial number of doctors who have these relationships with the manufacturers of medical devices. In fact, a number of them are involved in the actual design of new implants.
Wow. So Ed Blizzard is with us. You're an attorney based in Texas, but if there are people out there who are listening who perhaps have one of these Dupuy hip implants, and are in whatever state, whether they're feeling pain or realize there's something wrong or maybe they've already had it replaced, are you putting together a class?
It's not really a class. Although we have an office in Houston, that's our main office, mm-hmm. We have a nationwide practice, and we represent individuals everywhere. Those cases are consolidated for purposes of common discovery, but it's not really a class action in the classic sense.
I see.
But we are taking, obviously, new cases, and we're seeing more and more of these hip implants having to be replaced.
I hear you. Now, let me ask you, because today happens to be the one-year anniversary of President Obama signing the health care bill into law. I haven't seen enough progress in the year. I hate that we still have to wait 3 years for everything to go into effect, the benefits. One of the things that the Republicans were pushing for, like it was going to make a difference, is tort reform. If they got their way, and tort reform had gone through, what would that do to the people who are suffering with this right now?
Well, Nicole, unfortunately, the FDA does not have adequate resources to police this industry. The industry just overwhelms them in terms of money spent as well as employees available to do the work. And so they just can't do it. And so the tort system does act as a check on the industry because they know at the end of the day that if, in fact, they put a defective product on the market, that they may have to pay for it.
Right, as it should be. I mean, these people trusted in their doctors and in Johnson & Johnson and DePue to replace their hip with something that was going to make them feel better, not make them feel worse and perhaps be a carcinogen, which is what we're seeing. So so where do you go from here? Now, what is the way forward here? What happens next?
Well, what we're doing now is we're in the early stages of discovery. So we know from the public record that they knew early on and did nothing to warn physicians and probably engaged in a cover-up of this information.
Wow.
But we're in the process of receiving the documents from them that we can then examine and get to the bottom of what they knew and when they knew it. And then also we're collecting information about our individual clients to see how bad they've been harmed by this. There's this uncertainty hanging over all of their heads about what has the chromium and cobalt done to them, and they probably won't know that for years.
Yeah.
But also we're looking at, you know, some of our clients are still having surgeries to have the implants taken out. I have several of them who have hip implants that are DePue hip implants on both sides, and
oh
so they're having to have surgeries over several years.
Oh, this is sickening. And is there any way to implore your doctor to tell you if they found this black, liquefied, dead flesh substance surrounding the implants, or do you have to subpoena them to get that information?
Well, you can get the medical records and see how they describe it in the operative reports, but, you know, the doctor is going to control what's actually in the operative report. And most physicians, and I think there's a good reason for this, don't want to have some video or photographs taken inside the operating theater.
Wow. If somebody has a DePue hip implant or perhaps even a knee implant, because you never know what's going to surface next, should they get in touch with you?
I think so. I think we have done over the years an effective job for our clients in helping them navigate through this complex area.
All right. And so how would someone reach out to you?
Our phone number is 713-844-3750. I'm going to have to confess that I don't have our 800 number available.
Okay.
We do have an 800 number. And you can also find that number online at blizzardlaw.com.
Okay, blizzardlaw.com. I'll put all the information up on the blog at radioornot.com after the show today so people can find you. Thanks for doing this. We are just, you know, the little people sort of at the mercy of Big Pharma and who, as we've learned, don't always have our best interest in mind. So, it's important to get this information out there. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Nicole.
All right, take care. Ed Blizzard is his name. It's sickening that, again, DePue, what a perfect name for a company who is hurting people rather than helping them. DePue, it looks like there's a cover-up. There was a cover-up. They knew that the chromium and cobalt rubbing against each other was shaving off and poisoning people from inside their bodies, and they kept using these implants in people. Sickening. Disgusting. By the way, today, the one-year anniversary of the Affordable Care Act, David did a little research. And on in March of 2010, before the health care law was bill was signed into law, the stock price for United Healthcare was $33.16 a share. Any guesses on what it is today? I'm looking in the chat rooms to see if someone can come up with it. And WellPoint was $63.61 a year ago. You know what it is today? I don't have the Jeopardy music here handy. dun, 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 dun. No, not quite triple, Mike M. United Healthcare, in the year since the healthcare bill was signed into law, went from $33.16 a share to $42.64. WellPoint, $63.61 a share, now at $67.19 a share. But that doesn't account for the fact that they've raised their rates, you know? Yeah, so there you go. No, not quite triple, not even double, but still the share prices are steadily rising. Something is wrong.